Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
Way to go, Stan.
Why, thank you, John. With a little time and effort, I might actually get good at this.
I'm John Kurlinski.
I'm Stan Hutz. We want to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle.
It's where we take a lighthearted look at the serious issues of evolution and creation from a creationist standpoint.
And from a non-serious approach. No, well, at least a lighthearted approach.
We're two people who happen to love both creation and good science.
We do.
But we do not like evolution.
We do not, and that's why we sink it.
We don't like other things, too. Sometimes we don't even like some of the people who come to our churches.
This is two pastors talking right now.
You ever find someone in church you just wish would leave?
Yes, I have, come to think of it. Is this confession time on the radio?
Well, we won't actually give names.
The listeners to not tell any of our church members that we've had this thought.
CD happens to be the initials,
okay.
But...
people coming to church that we don't want. Now, who are you talking about?
We're talking about some old stiff that keeps coming in the old church. He's actually been coming to church for a long time, it seems like.
For about 105 or 10 years.
Everyone starts scratching their heads now. Actually, we won't dig him up anymore. But actually, who comes to church is Charles Darwin.
Charles Darwin, as we talked about last week on Sink the Beagle, we talked about Charles Darwin's life, his impact on Christianity, at least in England. And as it turned out, my goodness, when he passed away, they had a big funeral for him right next to Westminster Abbey.
And they buried him in church.
in the cathedral there in the Abbey. And... he's been there ever since, in church.
He's been in church. Actually, he's found a new life in church, not through a resurrection of a bodily form, but the resurrection of his spirit, or in a sense, his ideas have crept into the church.
They have been in the church. They've certainly been in the Church of England, and dare I say it, Darwin's perhaps been one of the last people to attend church in England, because if you go over there today as a good tourist, and even on Sunday mornings, and I've done this, walked into some of those large churches, beautiful churches in England, there's more tourists than there are worshipers.
And that's sad, but true. You know, Darwin has come to church. He's entered the church through, actually, in many different churches. He's not particular to denominations.
Yes.
Charles Darwin has entered many churches through the process of what we would call theistic evolution.
Theistic evolution. Now, I know what evolution is, and I think I know what theism is, the belief in God. Theistic evolution?
It's kind of a bad wedding. It's kind of like marrying your sister.
Okay. Not meant to be.
Not meant to be.
Okay. What is theistic evolution?
Theistic evolution is the belief that God exists and he's a creator, but he creates through evolution. In other words,
through which he creates life
forms. He spoke life into existence and then says, be fruitful and evolve.
Yes.
Instead of be fruitful and multiply, it says be fruitful and evolve, or multiply through evolution.
Okay, so he would say amen to Darwin's theory.
Yes, they believe that evolution is a legitimate way that there are millions and billions of years of life on this planet.
And so evolution, the process of small change, microscopic change, or even bigger changes, as some people have said in punctuated equilibrium or kind of major jumps in the
small groups.
Yeah. That this is the way that God
chose
did
to
stuff.
What happens in this theory, there's actually a lot of flaws with this theory.
Okay.
But actually, before we talk about some of the flaws, I just want to share, a lot of people in their ordinary churches, many of them don't follow the major teachings of their church in these matters. In other words, there are many believers, if you look across the spectrum of American belief,
okay,
you'll discover approximately 10, 11, 12%, usually the highest it gets, are true evolutionary believers. They believe just in evolution.
Materialistic
evolution, not in theism.
And that is pure Darwinism. That is the theory that Darwin himself personally believed. Darwin, at about the age of 40 or so, gave up his belief in God, that God existed. And so from that point on, he was a pure materialistic evolutionist, meaning that material begets or changes into new material.
There is another group, about 40, approximately, all these other two, about approximately 40%, is a group that believe in a literal creation in some form about under 10,000, less than 10,000 years ago, 6,000 to 7,000 years ago, most of them.
And that 40% of Americans that believe that, and this is according to a Gallup poll, think that basically the Bible records what happened.
Yes.
The Bible story is about right.
And then there's 40 more percent, approximately 35 to 40% again, who fall in this category in between, where they're described as progressive creationists or theistic evolutionists. They all believe it was long age and God.
Or more specifically, in terms of just your belief in the Bible, that the Bible account is not historically accurate or complete.
Yeah, the first chapters, especially the first 11 chapters, are basically more from the realm of myth.
Yes.
Than they are from the realm of truth.
Right.
Science teaches truth on our origins.
And these people can live with that. And that's why they're theistic evolutionists.
And these are the theistic evolution is the major teaching of no less than the Catholic Church.
The Pope wrote a letter on this.
Pontificating that...
said that there's no inconsistency, that a Christian, that science has, in his words... correctly pointed out the truthfulness of evolution, that it did happen. They would hold that God created a human soul instantly and placed it into someone we might call Adam.
So what happens is, if you take that view, you basically have one day there's God, and he's looking down at earth, and he says, hey, there's a monkey that looks like me. Hey, I think I'll give him a soul. Hey, you're a soul, brother.
Hey, who am I? Why, I'm a man, you know,
hey,
Adam.
I'm Adam.
I think I'll call my name Adam.
And then we need an Eve here, so we found another monkey.
Another monkey. Whoa, just flesh like of my flesh.
Bone of my bone.
Okay.
Bride.
And so the Pope has said theistic evolution is in essence in accordance with Roman Catholic theology. It's fine.
And you would think that the Reformers wouldn't adopt that kind of view.
No, the Reformers were sola scriptura. The Bible and the Bible alone will determine what we are to believe.
Bunk.
Okay.
Actually, the Anglican Church teaches the same. You'd be surprised that even prominent conservative Christians, I would say James Dobson, believes the same. His church, the Nazarene Church, when I was doing my dissertation, consulted with their theology and their science departments. And what really puzzled me is they had a huge conference in 98, March in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. It was either 98, 97, somewhere in there, late 90s. And their big debate was, it was a group of scientists and theologians from the Nazarene Church and administrators trying to figure out, how can we get our members to accept what we're teaching, what we believe as scholars? Because a lot of the conservative Nazarenes do not believe as their church teaches and holds as their doctrine.
And that to me is the answer for why 40 to 45% of Americans believe in a creation account, even though certainly 40 to 45% of the denominations or colleges, certainly they don't teach that or hold to it. So
actually, more than that, there's very few that actually believe.
Count them on one hand, the colleges that teach creationist viewpoints.
Mm-hmm.
Wheaton College, Billy Graham's old college, Oral Roberts University, many, many colleges that have been thought to be sort of the stalwarts in Bible fundamentalism, do not teach it anymore. They teach evolution, not creationism.
They all followed the leadings of universities like Harvard and all the Ivy
Leagues.
That's
where they got their professors from.
Yeah. Well, Harvard and all those began as seminaries and places to teach, train missionaries for the gospel.
That's right.
They all eventually evolved shortly after their founding days to become evolutionary in philosophy. And pretty soon it dominated the whole university, where they are basically evolutionist, not even theistic evolutionist, and it has swept through almost every major denomination over time. Within usually 100 to 150 years, has embraced it.
Presbyterian Church of USA just recently voted that evolution is not counter.
You know, I like that
their,
way.
There.
They voted it.
They voted it.
They voted it.
And it wasn't unanimous.
It wasn't truth, but we voted truth.
We voted what
truth will
be. What we're
going to teach is truth.
So,
that's a good way of arriving at truth. Let's vote.
Let's vote. And you know, once you get away from a high view of Scripture, or you elevate science to and human reason to as high or higher than Scripture, you are definitely going to run into this.
And you're going to run and down the path of great difficulty. And this is what always has challenged me when I want to confront my theistic evolution friends. I pick fun at them. And the sad mm-hmm. reality is that most people who are theistic evolutionists do not find acceptance in either the purely theological views mm-hmm. or the purely scientific views. Mm-hmm. Most people think they're trying to straddle a fence that
that's
you just
right.
can't straddle, or a canyon, more or less, or a chasm that's unstraddleable.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a foot in both and be consistent with anything. For an example, if you are a Bible-believing Christian that believes that Jesus Christ is the God and Savior of the world, who
yes.
came and created, not only created the world,
mm-hmm.
but died to save it,
mm-hmm.
and you believe that he had come and died for your sins, and
mm-hmm.
you believe in the incarnation, what allows you to play the mental gymnastics of believing in this part of the Bible and believe in its supernatural nature and not believe in the supernatural stories of the creation and flood?
Absolutely. You're going to have to start picking the stories that you like and will believe.
And who becomes God? Who becomes the author of truth when you start doing that?
That's absolutely right.
You have also the words, you know, when you start looking in the Bible, if you're going to start saying that, no, you know, redemption's fine, Jesus is fine, just give me Jesus in the New Testament, that Old Testament doesn't apply to us, or if you want to say that creation or the flood are myths, you're going to have to deal with the biblical writers, including Jesus himself, who by their own words and use of Scripture verify those stories. And would you, if you take the plain and simple reading of the text, you would have to say that they would believe that a person like Noah existed and that Adam was the first created human.
Well, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, if you start to think, well, we know more than they do. We know more than Jesus did, you know,
yeah.
it gets you into some trouble. Well, when I think about this story about trying to halt between two opinions, shall we say, I think about the Elijah and the Mount Carmel Baal experience where Elijah was confronted by a whole system of belief that had centered into it its belief that Baal was the god of storms and war and the gods of nature, and that was the reality of their natural world. That was their concept, their paradigm. And Elijah said, no, God, the one who is creator of heaven and earth, spoke these things. He's the creator of all sorts. And they said, well, how long? And we know you're trying to believe in God, so how long are you going to walk this fence and try to believe both opinions? If I can quote from 1 Kings 18:21, here's our torpedo text. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him.
It's interesting that, Stan, when you look at the last call of Scripture,
mm-hmm.
the last warning given, it seems to be in context in Revelation 14. There's
yes.
three angels that go around the world. And the interesting, it's the end of the world. The rise of the powers opposed to God are rising up in the world. And what is the message? It's a message to call to fear God, give glory to him. The hour of his judgment has come.
The judgment hour message.
And to worship him who created. It's a call back to worship the Creator,
yes.
who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of the deep, which we can talk about on another Sink the Beagle. But in this end, it's a call again, get off the fence.
And get Darwin out of church, frankly.
Disfellowship Darwin.
Send him home.
Send him home. Send him packing. We don't know his eternal destiny. We tend to think it might not be too good. But
might be a little warm.
We'll let God judge it. But in the meantime, his ideas, which are not biblical, need to be disfellowshipped from your mind because it'll corrupt your belief.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. If you have comments, questions, or requests for Dr. John or Dr. Stan, you can email them at hudahoe@mindspring.com. That's hudahoe, H-U-D-A-H-O, @mindspring.com. Be sure to listen in next time to Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friend. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.